This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Saltro Fungicide Seed Treatment from Syngenta for consistently superior sudden death syndrome protection without the stress.
You know, on the surface, when you just look at the closes, it looks like the volatility just drained out of the grain markets today. In reality, a failed upside breakout attempt in the grain market set the stage for some high anxiety going into the end of the week. Today, we're going to talk about how to manage that risk and how to manage profits, too. And welcome to AgriTalk, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am your host, Chip Flory, Davis Michelson. If you're listening, travel safe. Looks like the road conditions are deteriorating out there across Iowa as the snow comes down. Another 1 to 3 inches expected here over the next couple of hours. And that is going to be spreading across the Midwest as well. So we're going to be talking with Jim McCormick today. Jim is with agmarket.net. Looking forward to the conversation with Jim. Coming up next on AgriTalk. All right. Hey, guys, this conversation with Jim, we shared an email earlier today. And I'm really looking forward to the conversation. And here's the big reason is this. I was doing a show yesterday, a grower meeting, a farmer meeting. I was doing a farmer meeting yesterday, and every time the conversation moved away from price and moved to revenue and moved to profit, the conversation just got better. I made that comment to the group while I was there. You know, if I asked them, is anybody else feeling that the conversation just flat out gets better when we start talking about potential revenue rather than just talking about price? And everybody agreed. And I think that's so important. Well, Jim hits me up with an email today and says, hey, you know what? We're really kind of getting away from talking about price and talking more about profit and revenue. So, I mean, it was perfect timing for Jim to send me that. And it's perfect timing to get Jim on and talk about what is going on in the markets today. All right. Like I said, Davis is out on the road, but sitting in for Davis today, I don't even know how this happens, but we've got Farm Journal editor, Ag Day anchor, Clinton Griffiths on with us
today.
Hey,
buddy.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Happy
Good.
To be here. You know, we were talking before, you know, our two basketball teams played each other.
Yep.
And, you know, you guys whooped us again. But that's okay. We're trying real hard this year here at Oklahoma State. We're trying real hard.
You are. And Iowa State is trying too, but it's ugly for both of us this year. But here's the good news. At least we got through it without throwing a punch.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. That's going to be ugly, isn't it? Whole K-UK State brawl there at the end of the game.
That's
going to end up being ugly.
We got through it without throwing a punch or a stool.
That's right.
Oh, I love Coach Self. Well, yeah, I saw that he had it above his head, and then he dropped it. No, somebody yanked that thing out of his hands. He was going to swing it.
Oh, my gosh. Just crazy. The emotion in that moment.
Yes.
Got to control yourself here, fellas.
Well, and you know, that's what can happen in a 30-point game.
Well, jeez. And the frustration. Yeah, but kind of boils over. Absolutely. That's
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Should we get to these markets?
Yeah, let's get to the news.
All right. Wheat futures rallied in the overnight session on spillover support from gains in Paris wheat futures, tightening global supplies and consistent global demand for wheat from sources other than the U.S. are supporting global wheat prices and helping to pull U.S. wheat prices higher as well. Now, front month SRW wheat futures pushing to the highest level since August of 2018, triggering a round of long liquidation as fund traders took profits. Now, March hard red futures were 7.5 cents lower at 492.5. March soft red futures slipped to 3.75 cents to 577.75. And March spring wheat was 8.5 cents lower at 553.75.
Yeah, that we're really focused on what's going on with the European market right now. Really focused on the global wheat prices that are being set basically by Russia and Ukraine.
Wheat trying to pull others with it. Corn prices trying to follow wheat futures to the upside in the overnight session, which left the corn market vulnerable to spillover selling when wheat futures eased those gains. But corn did manage to hold on to modest gains to post a mid-range close. Last Friday's strong gains were based on rumors the U.S. is making export sales of corn to Asia and potentially to China. But so far, the lack of a daily export sales announcements making traders skeptical that China will be a buyer until after the Lunar New Year celebration. Now, March corn futures were a penny and a quarter higher at 388 and three quarters. July corn steady at 399 and a quarter. December 2020 corn closing at $4, three quarters of a cent down three quarters.
Yeah, the lack of a sales announcement this week, if we don't get one after that price action that we saw on Friday, we're going to take all of last Friday's gains back.
Now, bean prices, they pushed higher in the overnight session, but followed wheat to the downside and the market closed below support at 915. Chart watchers saying that opens downside risk to the December 12th low at 902.5. Now, a lack of new export sales to China, as we mentioned, since the signing of that phase one agreement is disappointing to many of these market watchers, weighing on prices. Also, generally non-threatening weather in Brazil is making it difficult to generate any buying interest. Now, March bean futures were 2.25 cents lower, 913 and three quarters. July beans down 2.25 to 941 and a quarter. November 2020 beans closing at 950 and a quarter, down a penny on the day.
Yeah, the charts just look really tough in the bean market right now. It's going to be tough to overcome.
Yeah, we keep looking for that good news to drive us somewhere, and it just hasn't come yet.
Right.
Live cattle futures are trading at a premium to cash cattle market, so that's making it difficult to push futures to the upside. February cattle futures were down 20 cents to 126.17. April cattle futures slipping 45 cents to 126.77. March feeders dropping to 162 at a close of 143.05. Tuesday's late session price recovery on lean hog futures turned into some light follow-through buying in today's trade. February hogs were 20 cents higher at 67.55. April hogs jumping 70 cents, 74.52, Chip.
All right. Thank you so much, Clinton. We'll talk to you again later.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Let's bring in Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. Bubba, how you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm just coming back from speaking at Family Farms, and I'm on my way back from Missouri.
All right.
I don't think that the Advent corn looks great, and I think that Thursday was a forced liquidation, which is why we got the immediate bounce on Friday. That's my opinion, just so you know.
Okay, I was wondering about that.
That's what I think. I don't know for a fact, but that the price action suggests to me it was forced liquidation. Everything's good except for soybeans and hogs. Other than that, everything else looks pretty good.
Yeah, soybeans. The chart picture in there right now is really pretty tough. No question about that. So, Bubba, I know that your attitude about something like a trade deal with China and everything. It's already all factored into the markets. But are you at all surprised at how the markets have responded since the signing of the phase one?
No, I mean, again, I think pretty much that was priced in. I mean, we had decent rallies going in, and as I always tell you, the news is well. You know, the traders are well ahead of the news, and they knew that was going to get signed. So it was more of a buy the rumor, sell the news. I think we'll see some good action, but before beans are going to go anywhere, they got to get back above 920. Otherwise, it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, and what if they get under $9 first?
Well, they could go. They could listen. I'm short beans. You know, I don't like to be short grains, right? And I'm short beans right now. I think they got room to go. But I'd like to say I'd rather them rally back above 920 and get long again. They don't look good. The whole deal stinks. In general, I mean, they're not going to buy anything extra, you know, than they always buy, and it's always going to come down to where can they buy for the least amount of money, basically. A trade deal or no trade deal, that's what it always comes down to. I mean, it's got the same as always. The only going for us is that the dollar has weakened a little bit, a little strong the last couple of days, and the real is getting a little bit stronger.
We got to hop. One of the top yield-robbing soybean diseases in the U.S., sudden death syndrome, can create up to a 50% yield loss. In 2019, the conditions were ripe for SDS development throughout much of the U.S. soybean belt. Brett Craigmile, agronomic service representative with Syngenta from Missouri, is here to discuss what he saw last year. Brett, what did you hear from customers and see out in the field?
With the planting dates Missouri growers had, most of the planting was in May and June. We weren't expecting a whole lot of sudden death syndrome to really show up. But as I was doing some trainings at my Growmore site, I was kind of surprised there in early August, how many customers were actually starting to see some sun dust syndrome show up in their fields.
What can growers do to protect their yield from SDS?
A lot of those decisions need to be made before planting time. Really, with sun dust syndrome, your best defense is going to be looking at your genetics that you're buying in your seed. If you've got a good, tolerant, resistant variety to SDS, that's going to be your best option to go with that. Now, having said that, we've got some other options to help if you don't have that option or maybe just want a little additional protection, and that's where the seed care products come into play.
Speaking of seed treatments, Syngenta now has Sultro fungicide seed treatment available for the 2020 season. What can you tell us about this upgrade in SDS protection?
Really, the thing that stuck out was superior SDS control. Statistically, 3 bushel per acre advantage we're seeing over the current market standard under high SDS pressure, which is pretty darn impactful when it comes to a grower's bottom line. But even in those years, maybe we don't get that huge outbreak, we've even seen Sultro provide a statistically significant 1.8 bushel per acre yield increase over that market standard. So consistency year in, year out is a big thing for growers, never knowing what diseases are going to be out there. And Sultro has been providing the highest yield potential so far.
Thanks, Brett. That was Brett Craigmile, Agronomic Service Representative for Syngenta. For more information on Sultro, head over to SyngentaUS.com/Sultro.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Calling all farmers and ag professionals, want to maximize return on investment for every acre on the farm? If so, now is the time to register for the Precision Ag Workshop at National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. Join me, AgriTalk's Chip Flory, to learn how precision ag data can boost bottom line profits and wildlife habitat. Enjoy farmer-led panel discussions and interactive breakout sessions. Register now at pheasantfest.org for the Precision Ag Workshop presented by John Deere on February 14th at the Minneapolis Convention Center.
Just like the weather, crop insurance keeps changing. And that's why Farm Credit Services of America employs full-time crop insurance officers who understand those changes, deliver the best options to your farm, and the coverage you expect. The weather can be surprising. Your crop insurance shouldn't be. Discover the difference with a no-cost, no-obligation crop insurance plan review from Farm Credit Services of America. Learn more by calling 800-884-FARM.
You probably can't tell from the sound of it, but Simtrex is a different kind of dry fertilizer with new potential waiting to be harvested. Every dark compact granule is engineered to efficiently deliver slow-release bio-based nutrition that improves soil health and increases yields for a 3 to 5 times return on investment. Unleash the power of your land. Ask for Simtrex in your next blend or visit futureoffertilizer.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
And you can tweet at us, too. If you do that, just include hashtag AgriTalk, ding, in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. Corn was basically very little change in the corn market today. Front month contracts were steady to firm. The back month contracts steady to fractionally lower. Slightly lower in the soybean market. Bean meal worked to the downside. Bean oil was higher. Wheat futures were lower today. Cattle complex was lower. Lean hog futures, slight to moderate gains in today's trade. Our guest analyst, I'm looking forward to this, Jim McCormick from agmarket.net. He joins me right now. Jim, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Good. Thank you again for having me on, Chip. I appreciate it.
You bet. You bet. So I was pretty excited when I got your note this morning. When I, you know, I usually try to drop the guest analyst a note just so everybody knows out there and say, okay, here's what I want to talk about. What do you want to talk about? And I was telling them the story, Jim, that I did a farmer meeting yesterday. And at one point I said to the group there that, you know, the conversation gets better when we stop talking about price and we start talking about revenue and we start talking about profit. It just takes it to a new level. And then I get your note today and you say, we at agmarket.net are really pushing profits over price. And I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be awesome. But what do you mean by that, Jim?
Well, what I mean by that is, Chip, we've actually at our company have developed an app that you can use on your phone and as well as just on the computer that allows the producer to essentially put in his break-evens and run his numbers. And what we're finding, what we're trying to reinforce to producers out there is you can make some money at these levels. You know, $3 corn with the current basis and the yields we're getting right now, we're able to lock in profitability for a lot of our producers at this point. And as a company, actually, we are 25-30% sold for new crop corn anywhere between 405 and 410, because that is the key right now. I think the producers out there, we just get so transfixed on what that raw number is. Is it $4? Is it 405? Is it 410? And we just forget, what is the overall goal, what we want to do? We want to make money, and that's where the profit becomes more important than just the price.
Right, exactly. I really like that. 25-30% sold on 2020 crop production, that 405 to 410 area. How do you view that? Do you view that as fairly aggressive? Because that 405 to 410, is it in the positive range? Most likely for many producers, yes. So being 25-30% at this time of the year, that feels, I don't know, it feels fairly aggressive to me, Jim.
It does feel aggressive, and I know it when even making a recommendation, Chip, it really kind of felt uncomfortable because, you know, it is early in the year. It's not even the end of January for the, you know, we haven't had Super Bowl Sunday yet.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, if the numbers are there and you can lock in the profit, then you can, you know, you can trade off of it in essence. You know, if you feel uncomfortable with it, we can always buy calls down the line. But the fact of the matter is, there is so much uncertainty in the world right now. The market has just been waiting and waiting and waiting for China to come in and buy grain. What if they don't? What if they just kind of wait, say, hey, look, we're going to buy corn, but we're not going to follow through till the summertime. And if we plant 95, 96, 97 million acres, which is some of the ranges we've heard, our carryout is going to do nothing but explode higher, unfortunately. And, you know, we don't want producers to look back and go, I should have, wish I could have, when you had the chance. So we're saying, hey, let's lock it in. It is profit. It's not price that's important. Let's get some of it locked in when you can.
Yeah. So what this does is it opens up your opportunity risk on the 25-30%. You can manage that opportunity risk, though. Right.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. I mean, certain customers, like, you know, a lot of guys are saying, look, you know, maybe I'll go out and buy some of June short dated $4, 410 calls for under 8 to 10 cents. Just the way to kind of control that risk if they're really nervous about it. Other guys are saying, look, man, if I only get 25% sold and this 405's my worst sell and that is profitable and I can sell more on a move higher, that's all the better. I mean, the key is to start that first move and get it priced in, you know, start that first sell, we believe, because that's usually the first sell is usually the hardest one. And once you get that profit locked in and you start saying, wow, I'm locking in profits, everyone's happy. The banker's happy and your wife's happy, more importantly.
Yeah, yeah. And if you walk into a banker, you know, like so many producers are doing right now to renew their line of operating loans, and you show them that, hey, I've already got 25% sold at whatever price it is for at least a small profit in here, that should help your case when you sit down and talk to your lender.
Yeah, I would believe it should. Not to mention, Chip, we know there's a lot of customers out there that are still holding on to last year's grain, the old crop grain. So, in a way, this is also kind of mitigating some of that risk. You're selling some new crop, but you're holding on the old crop. The old crop does look a little bit, a little bit interesting. The basis has just continued to be strong across the Midwest, and I lean to think the old crop is going to get a little bit smaller in size when it's all said and done, and that should keep the cash market a little bit supported on the old crop. Like I said, the new crop, we're just really trying to lock in profits. I know a lot of customers had profits last year on that summer rally. The emotion of the market got in. The price kind of got in their way of the profit. And we're just trying to learn from last year's mistakes and encourage people, hey, let's get back into marketing and, take advantage of it when the money's there.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Let's talk about soybeans here for just a bit, Jim. You go back to, early December, something like that. I was one of the guys that was saying, listen, if we get a deal done with China and actually get something signed, it feels like bean prices are too cheap. Well, that was wrong because here we are, what, 25, 30 cents cheaper than what we were ahead of the, before phase one was signed. You heard Bubba. There was some buying in the market in anticipation that the deal would get done, and now that the deal is done, we've got some selling. I guess that shouldn't surprise me, but there was so much doubt that a deal with China was going to get signed. I'll admit I'm disappointed by the reaction.
Well, I am too. I know it's very disappointing. I think a lot of people were hoping we'd get a big round of another surge up, Chip. But the fact is, the market's fading. It almost feels like it's a classic kind of buy the rumor, sell the fact. We've got the fact that China locked it in. But the reality is the deal is probably not as good as I think people had hoped. They kind of got, it looks to me like a little escape clause that says, hey, if they can buy this product cheaper from South America, they can. Currently, South America's pricing beans for delivery into China about $2.5 to $4 a ton cheaper than we are for May delivery. They're on the cusp of harvesting what looks like could be another record crop out of Brazil. And that's just, what the market's trying to digest right now. We've got to get back into equilibrium where we are competitive with China, because that's the one thing China kept saying this whole trade negotiations is they were willing to buy U.S. products, Chip, but it had to be economic incentive to do it. And right now, unfortunately, our beans, there is no incentive to buy our beans with Brazil's harvest just around the corner, unfortunately.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, and it does look like it's going to be a pretty decent crop down there and bring some additional competition in. So as you were talking there, Jim, a thought was running through my head, and I'm going to try to vocalize it. So the market went up or was firm in anticipation that we would sign a deal, and when this deal was signed, I get it. We took some profits out of it. Now there is widespread skepticism that the deal is going to turn into anything significant. Even though the agreement is, in my opinion, fairly clear-cut that they're going to have to increase their purchases of U.S. ag products, whether it be lumber, whether it be ethanol, whether it be beans, something. They're going to have to buy it. What if the market is going down in anticipation that the trade is going to be disappointed by how China reacts to the agreement, but when it actually happens, we should get a reaction then, a positive price reaction then, right?
Oh, I would fully expect it right now. The one thing I've noticed over the years, Chip, is the market doesn't project very well anymore on the demand, on the bullish side. It reacts to bullish news. It wants to see the Chinese news come in. And I think if we start seeing some big purchases, I would expect the market to come right back in and the buyers to flood right back into the market and get excited again.
That's interesting. Doesn't forecast on the bullish side well, but we just get those reactions. That's a very interesting observation there, Jim. And what it might do is if we do get a rally, you better be quick to take advantage of it, right?
Well, that's it. I mean, the rallies, if you notice, in general, have been relatively fleeting. I would take advantage of it. I mean, the one thing, China's going to buy it, but you've got the African swine flu, which I still don't think is completely contained over there in Asia, and now you've got this other virus that just is, kind of reminds you of the SARS virus, about 10, 15 years ago, and it just killed their economy, and that could really stall out and kind of just kind of back backload those purchases maybe to the end of 2020, potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And the timing on this, just, I don't remember the specific timing of the SARS, if it got in the way of their Lunar New Year celebration or not. But this coronavirus, Jim, I agree. If it encourages people to stay home, and all of that buying of goods and services, blah, 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 that was done in anticipation of the big celebration, if it doesn't actually sell, it's going to hurt that economy. Okay, when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
You see things differently. You are an innovator. You are an American farmer, and you can win the Global Hemp Innovation Challenge. Just like Henry Ford and his automobile made from hemp, you think out of the box. When food, fuel, medicine, feed, and fiber are being made hemp-based, we all win. To enter the Hemp Innovation Challenge or to learn more, call 888-222-4656. Whenever your hemp idea arrives, day or night, 24/7. That number again is 888-222-4656. Submission deadline has been extended to January 24th. Go online to hempinnovationchallenge.org to learn more.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pearl Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at March crude oil futures today. The crude market rallied from an October low around $50 per barrel to a spike high at $65.40 after the U.S. droned Iranian General Soleimani. Prices then reversed when it became clear a wider U.S.-Iranian conflict wasn't happening. The sustained nature of the drop was pretty surprising. With the March future having dipped back under 58 last week, it seemed like the breakdown might have ended, but yesterday's bearish reversal after failing at 40-day moving average resistance strongly suggests a larger decline could be coming. Bulls can argue that a major support at its 100-day moving averages around 56.75 will halt the drop, but I suspect the test of the 55 level will occur in the near future.
All right. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Dan Vaught turning drone into a verb. I love it. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you later. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. We're talking to Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net today. Give us a call. It's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us when you do. Include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. And recap how the markets closed today real quick. March hard red futures, 7.5 cents lowered, 492.5. March SRW slipped 3.75 cents to 577.75. March corn, penny and a quarter higher at 3.88¾. December 2020 corn closed at $4.75, down 0.75 cents. March beans, 2.25 cents lower at 9.13¾. Novi beans closed at 9.50¼, down a penny on the day. February cattle futures down 20 cents at 126.17½. March feeders dropped 162.5 to close at 143.05. And February lean hogs, 20 cents higher at 67.55. Okay, let's get back to the conversation with Jim. Jim McCormick, let's talk about another trade deal, Jim, and that being USMCA. I mean, Wednesday we had the signing of phase one, followed up on Thursday with Senate passage of USMCA. It goes over to President Trump's desk now to be signed. Canada still needs to work it out. Trump still needs to sign it. Those two things are going to happen. The combination of Japan and then China and then USMCA, was it just too much good news for the market to handle?
Well, I don't know if it's too much. I mean, the one thing about the USMCA, for the big picture, at least on the grain side, it really wasn't much of a grain game changer, Chip. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, Mexico buys record amount of corn. They're still going to buy record amount of corn. You know, they also buy a lot of pork from us. Mm-hmm. What it did is it just kind of took that lack of uncertainty out of the marketplace. Because, you know, I think the biggest fear is what would happen if the whole thing kind of blew up in everyone's face at the last moment. So I think that's why the market really didn't react violently, bullishly, unfortunately, to the signing of that trade agreement, because it pretty much just meant status quo. But the fact of the matter is, in the big picture, status quo is good because they are our biggest buyer.
Right, right. Okay. I know that when we started, we said that it's more important to talk revenue and profit, but I do want to have a bit of a price discussion in here. And it just feels like maybe you're anticipating that that there's some more downside risk in both corn and soybeans.
Well, I do think in the big picture there are going to have more downward risks simply because there's still an abundant supply of grain in the world, Chip. In the long run, yeah, you know, we plant acres, we have a good crop. I mean, we threw a lot of poor weather at this year's crop. We still ended up with a pretty big deal. So in the long run, we are a little bit negative. Near term, I'm hoping that we can get some demand here in the first quarter that'll really kind of get the excitement going. I am a little bit optimistic. Somewhere on this dip, you'll find the Chinese step in and make some purchases just to kind of make a good faith attempt for the Trump administration that they are following through with this pledge. But, yeah, I mean, you can't deny the fact that we plant 95 million acres of corn. You've got some people, Chip, talking a carry-out pushing over, three billion bushels, and that would be a huge problem, plain and simple, if we have a record crop with 95-plus million acres. So that's kind of what we're looking at in the long run, unfortunately, is a long-term negative tail if that production capacity is reached.
Yeah, that corn export number, if we don't get any kind of recovery from the 1.775 billion bushels that is currently being projected for the 2019-20 marketing year, if we don't see any recovery in that for the 2021 marketing year, Jim, It gets pretty easy to balloon up that carryover number, doesn't it?
It does. Now, the one thing that's going to help us, I think, in the long run, Chip, is the dollar. The U.S. dollar has been kind of trending lower since the fall. It's kind of right at some chart resistance right now today. If it continues to work lower into 2020, and with the economic policies that we're seeing in the United States and around the world, I think there's a good shot that dollar will continue to weaken. And as it weakens, that'll make us a lot more competitive on the world stage. And that's part of the problem right now is, in general, with the rest of the world having zero or negative interest rates, and us, interest rates not great, but on the plus side, we have just been pushing and pulling money to the United States. And that's hurting that's bringing the dollar up and hurting exports. So if we can see this dollar weaken, that would be probably the biggest thing that could really affect the overall demand for U.S. Okay. products.
Okay. All right. Good. I got that. On 2020 corn, you said you're 25-30% done in that 405 to 410 range. Have you done anything on beans? Do you feel the need to get something done at $9.50?
We are actually recommending getting beans around 20-25% of the new crop beans sold right around that 960 to 965 level range is where we have some hedges on right now. And for the most part, Chip, that's just because we've got a decent supply. We plant decent, you know, we get a rebound of planting after all the prevent plant this year. And more importantly, this record crop out of South America, slowing China demand due to the swine flu as well as this new outbreak. We think it's just pragmatic. If you can run those numbers and they're profitable, like we said, it's profit, not price, to lock in some of that profit and don't let it get away from you. You can always sell more and pretty much trade against it. Like I said earlier, you could sell futures and buy a call down the line if you're a little bit nervous going into the summertime.
Yeah, okay. Boy, the one market that has really impressed me, of course, has been wheat. You look at that chart, and it is bottom left to top right. Now, the today's bar doesn't look all that encouraging, but we've had some blips in the rally. Of course, you know, it's hard to imagine a market that can or could go straight up. But, boy, what an impressive move, Jim.
It is one of the most – it's kind of nice to see when you consider what the corn market has done, nothing in the bean market. The wheat market's been incredibly exciting right now. Although I'm telling my customers, the closer we get to that $6 level, the more bearish I'm kind of looking at maybe hedge some of that off. Plain and simple, a lot of this is driven on, you know, perception that Russians are tight-fisted. Well, they may loosen up some of that wheat sales. And then a lot of it has to do with what's going on in France. They've got this, you know, huge debate politically on pension reforms, and they're pretty much got gridlocked. There is nothing coming out of France export-wise, and that's helping drive this wheat market up. You've got to believe summer down the line, sooner than later, this deal is going to get worked out between the protesters and the, you know, the French president. And if those exports start moving again, Chip, I think that could be what caps this wheat rally.
Yeah. Boy, if you could give us a date on when that deal is going to get struck in France, that'd help everybody out in getting some wheat sales off.
No doubt about it.
Oh, shoot. Hogs, I want to jump over there, Jim. The nearby contracts, they're really not all that impressive. Obviously not interested in doing anything in the February. But what about April? There it is up at, let's just call it $75 in the April contract. And then you get out to the summer contracts and we're up around 85, I believe, 87 make it. 87, 88 bucks out in the summer month contracts. You interested in doing anything in those hog markets?
Well, not yet. Like I said, you know, one thing I think you're seeing with hogs is I am a little bit more friendly hogs going into the summer into the first quarter. China's been emptying their freezers left and right as they've been getting ready for this big New Year's celebration. And I got to believe, you know, they're going to see some of that demand come back as they try to refill that stock, that demand. So I'm hopeful for at least a little bit of a bump up. But if you can get those summer months back up over 90, no doubt I would go ahead and take some risk off the table. It's the same argument in hogs as it is in grains. If you can lock in profit, do not be afraid to do that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So I got to believe then that when you're looking at this cattle market, you're probably going to be saying the same thing. And there are some opportunities out there on the cattle crush, right?
Right now there are opportunities. It's the same way. Like I said, you know, what we're just, like you said in your commentary, when you talk to producers out there, you know, you start thinking, hey, I'm profitable, lock it in. And it's the same thing. You know, it doesn't matter what, wheat, corn, rice, oats, whatever you produce, producers out there, if you can lock in margins, start locking them in. There's a lot of functions on the board where you can essentially trade against it, hedge off against it to maintain it if something changes. But the key right now is to lock in something so you have some place to start. So, like I said, even the cattle crushes right there. Chart-wise, the cattle market's just kind of been in a dead sideways market. And, you know, if you look at these April cattle, they start taking out 124. The chart could look a little bit heavy. They take out to 127. You're going to look bullish. I do think the odds are cattle will push higher. You tend to, you know, trade up, you consolidate. Yeah. The consolidation tends to break out to the trend. The previous trend is up. So I'm still a little bit friendly cattle here for a little bit longer.
Okay. All right. Very good. What are you talking about with your with your producers right now when you're making plans for 2020?
Well, right now, what we're talking about right now is we have a new app out right now that we're encouraging people to come to it and run the numbers and pretty much find out what their break-evens are. That is the key, I think, right now, Chip, for the American producer, is to know where their break-evens are and to be honest with themselves. You know, take your cost of living into account, find out those numbers, know where they are, and then once you've got them, then you, I think you know a starting point for you and your operation and your banker to work at and say, hey, this is where we're going to start making our targets to market. And be prepared. Like you said, these rallies are short-lived, so you know they may be wish orders, but they could get hit. And when they hit them, you'll be happy. So that's kind of what we're looking at, is really locking down the numbers right now so we're prepared for those rallies when they do happen.
I love how you say be honest with yourself when you're putting these numbers together, too. It's, I mean, even if you're the only one that's ever going to see it, I've seen guys do it. They'll just get, well, you know, but I don't really. No, include it all. Be honest. Don't use the university numbers as an entry. Make sure that you know what your real costs are. And after this conversation with you, Jim, I got to tell you, I just finished up another column for Farm Journal magazine, and one of the top priorities that I put out there in this column was to understand opportunity risk and how to manage it. And I'm glad I did that after this conversation. I think it's something that guys are going to be looking at having to do in the year ahead. So good stuff, Jim. I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you having me on. I definitely think you're on the right track. You know what your risks are, know what your profitability is, and lock it in.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was the burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready, the 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded top producer conferences: Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Attention landowners and farmers, the Conservation Reserve Program, CRP, is now open. CRP is a great alternative for difficult-to-farm acres. It improves farm profitability and delivers high-quality wildlife habitat, cleaner water, and healthier soils. The CRP sign-up is going on right now, but it ends on February 28th. Find a local Pheasants Forever biologist at pheasantsforever.org/CRP or visit your local USDA service center. Farm the best, CRP the rest. This message brought to you by Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. Here's Jason Derschmidt from Fort Dodge, Iowa.
Been another tough year.
It seems like back to back, we've had just about everything thrown at us for trying to grow a crop. The plants looked excellent all season. We had good stay green late into the fall, and we're still got green, healthy plants and a good strong stalk and no ear droppage or no shanks that are weak, or everything looks excellent. We saw from the beginning, crops looked awful. I mean, it's a lot of the fields you didn't even want to drive by and look at. And now late in the season, everything kind of took off, and it seems like the year kind of never happened. There was no struggles. It's unbelievable how things turned around late in the year. A lot of the things we should have seen, we didn't see with Poncho Vetivo. I think the root development was better, and it withstood the dry weather that we had. It had roots down deeper and was able to uptake more water and nutrients later in the season. We had a shallow root system just due to compaction and not getting tillage done going into the year. So the root development was crucial this year, and the additional nutrient uptake that Poncho Vetivo 2.0 added, I think, gave us a big advantage this year. Definitely a great root system. We've had a lot of rain this year again. We went through a dry stretch late August into early September and saw no drought stress. It stood up to the wet weather well. So uptook nutrients, got out of the ground quick. It was another good year. Yields are excellent we've had just a challenging year, and the yields are unbelievable for what we've gone through.
BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions. Poncho and Votivo are registered trademarks of BASF Corporation, all rights reserved.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Man, I don't know if you've looked at a radar today, but this is one heck of a storm front that is making its way across the middle of the country. I mean, it's from Houston and the Gulf Coast down in Texas up through Iowa, and then it makes kind of a hard right turn, but it's in the cities, the Twin Cities right now, through Wisconsin, Ontario, and up into Quebec. I mean, this is a whopper of a storm system. It's crazy. Speaking of a whopper, we've got a big show for you tomorrow morning. Representative Cindy Axne from Iowa is going to be on the show with us. She has put her name on a General Accountability Office investigation into the Environmental Protection Agency's handling of the small refinery exemptions, the SREs. So we're going to find out from Representative Axne, number one, why. I think I know why they have asked for this investigation. Who else is supporting it? Who's put their name on it? What they hope to accomplish and what the timeline on this might look like. Because as Jim Wiesmeyer told us last week, there's like 21 pending SRE requests out there right now. Now they're going to start to handle that, and how those are handled, are they partially granted? Are the gallons that are exempted from the small refineries, are they going to be reallocated out to the rest of the industry? Based on what we know so far, the promise is to get to 15 billion gallons of blending in 2020. Now, if they're going to do that, the SRE, any exempted gallons are probably going to have to be reallocated at least for 2020. I know what the longer term ideas are. The longer term ideas are that E15 will make it possible for the U.S. to blend 15 billion gallons of corn-based ethanol a year. But I don't know if we can get there with E15 in 2020. It'll be an interesting push. No question about that. Also on the show tomorrow, Senator Amy Klobuchar, the candidate for the Democrat nomination for president, is going to be on the show with us. We're going to we'll talk the issues as she wants to discuss them, but obviously we're going to stay as focused on ag issues as we possibly can. If you have a question for the senator, you know what to do. Tweet it at AgriTalk. You can also tweet it to my account at Chip Flory. You can send me an email, host@agritalk.com. We probably won't be taking any calls during the interview with Senator Klobuchar tomorrow, just simply because I've already got a long list of things that I want to get through. But you can add to that list before the show starts. Big show. Representative Axne and Senator Klobuchar on tomorrow morning's AgriTalk. I mentioned the column that I wrote for Farm Journal that I just turned it in. It'll be a couple of weeks before that issue comes out. But as we are looking at 2020 and trying to figure out what's going to be the best way to manage risk and what kind of risk we need to be managing, of course, it's the questions that China creates. And are they going to live up to the terms of the agreement? Are they going to snub their nose? How, if they do snub their nose at the U.S., how much of a slap in the face is it? Does it turn into a long, drawn-out confrontation again, or is it something that we can get over fairly easy? How aggressively will the U.S. be in the enforcement issues that are inside of that agreement? Will they jump on it very quickly, handle it? How will China respond to it? So there's all kinds of questions that China and the agreement have created that the market is trying to deal with right now. So when we're putting together a plan for 2020, you've got to be very much aware that China cheats, lies, steals, ignores agreements, breaks promises, whatever you want to say. And if that happens in 2020, even with the expectation, and I'm hearing it more and more, that these purchases are going to be backloaded in the year, even if that's the case, if along the way there are indications that this thing is going south on us, our corn prices, our bean prices, our wheat prices, our cattle prices, our hog prices, everything is probably too high priced. And we've got downside risk that's going to need to be managed. So with that in mind, your revenue protection policies with crop insurance, your program elections for PLC or ARC under the Farm Bill, make the right election on that. Study it up, run the numbers. And then, of course, understand opportunity risk and how you can manage it, what it takes to manage that opportunity risk. In other words, like Jim said, I mean, how do you argue with what Jim was talking about? If you've got an opportunity to lock in some profits right now with prices where they're at, lock some profits in. Just be aware that if China does live up to the terms of the agreement and they do come in and they do start to purchase and this market does start to respond and we see some higher prices coming, higher prices could turn in to significantly higher prices at some point, and you talk with your brokers now to understand how you're going to manage opportunity risk if you are in the market making cash sales right now. Okay, the National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for January 28th through February 1. Above normal temperatures and above normal precipitation expected over the entire Midwest, over much of the country, in the 8 to 14 day as well. Okay, boy, I already gave you the details for tomorrow morning's show. It's going to be a big one. Make sure that you tune in tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock for AgriTalk.
You probably can't tell from the sound of it, but Simtrex is a different kind of dry fertilizer with new potential waiting to be harvested. Every dark compact granule is engineered to efficiently deliver slow-release bio-based nutrition that improves soil health and increases yields for a 3 to 5 times return on investment. Unleash the power of your land. Ask for Simtrex in your next blend or visit futureoffertilizer.com.
The first 24 to 48 hours after planting are critical to reaching the full yield potential in your seed. BioForge Advance from Stoller helps crops guard against weather-related stress that robs yield. Get your crops off to a great start with BioForge Advanced Seed Treatment this season. BioForge Advance can also be used in furrow, at planting, or in foliar applications. For winning yields in every field, start with Stoller and BioForge Advanced. Learn more at StollerUSA.com.
Thanks to Syngenta, producers of Saltro fungicide seed treatment, for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about reserving your supply for 2020. Always read and follow label instructions.